There he is, QB1, Drake May, putting in work at Patriots camp. I'll be out there this week. I'm going to go midweek. I'm going to go on Wednesday. I got a bunch of friends from the D.C. media market that will be up here in town as they're practicing against the Commanders. And then we know the preseason game's coming up. So I'll be there at camp. You know, look, this team's going to go as far as Drake May can take them in year two, no doubt about it. But in this league, you need the quarterback and the head coach combo to be right, and they got it right. Mike Vrabel and Drake May are going to be just fine from this year and beyond. I'm looking forward to more than four wins. Like, I just don't see a world in which this team does that again. You know, it has been abysmal around here the last few seasons, and it's been painful to watch New England Patriots football. That's not going to be the case this season. Worst case scenario, let's say they win five games. Fine. I don't believe that's going to happen, but even if it does, it's going to be a better product than what we've seen in the past few years. Now, if you look at the division, I mean, I still think, you know, I'm not willing to say it's closed on the Buffalo Bills, but I think that championship window is getting smaller and smaller. I thought last year was another, how many times have we said this? If you don't win it this year, you're never going to win it. It was another example of where the Bills blew it last year. I thought it was their time. They couldn't get it done. They won 13 games last year and lost again in the playoffs. Okay, that's how that goes. So I'm not buying them. And then did you see drama again? I mean, as frequent as this weekend, James Cook said, I'm not doing anything. You guys haven't given me a contract still. I'm not participating in anything you got going. So still drama there with the Bills. I think the AFC East, as far as who wins the division, is more open than we may think. But I'm not willing to go there for the Patriots yet. I'll still take the Bills to win the division, although I see some regression. They won 13 games last year. I'll give them 11 this year. I think that team will be 11-6, and the Patriots will be right on their heels. I think the Pats win 9 games this year. I'm going to go 9-8 for them. And I'm going to surprise you here. I think the Dolphins and the Jets will be both competing for the basement. I think the Jets are going to be a lot better than people think, too. I think both of those teams will be 8-9, 7-10 range. We'll see. I think the Dolphins are soft, and I don't trust Tua to stay healthy. I would not be shocked at all if the Dolphins end up in the basement and the Jets are better than them in the AFC East. So Bills take another step down. Patriots take a giant leap up. I think the Jets are a lot better. I think the Dolphins regress, and that's the AFC East. In the AFC South, if the Browns weren't in that division, I'd tell you it's the best in football, but because of the Browns, I can't do it. I don't even know who's playing quarterback for them, and it doesn't matter because they suck. I'll take the Ravens to win the division again. The Steelers, you know, I'm not buying it. I think there's a world in which they could have a winning record to keep Tomlin's streak alive, but they don't make the playoffs. I'm going to flip-flop them with the Bengals from last season. I think the Steelers will have a winning record at 9-8, but I don't trust Aaron Rodgers as far as I can throw him back into the woods for his darkness retreat with his shrooms, okay? So give me the Steelers 9-8, but miss out on the playoffs. And I'm not buying the Bengals either. I'm sorry. I mean, that defense is a sieve. They don't have any money left to pay Trey Hendrickson, their best defensive player. If I'm him, I would say, screw you. I'm not playing this year. I think the Bengals miss the playoffs again. I have the Ravens as the only team making a postseason in that division, as good as it is. And in the South, I have the Texans as the only team in the postseason there, too. I mean, that listen, that division is awful. The Texans were a bad call away from the Chiefs like everyone else when they play the Chiefs in the playoffs. They could upset the Chiefs early on in the postseason. They weren't able to get it done. I believe in their head coach. I just told you about the Patriots with Vrabel and Drake May, that they got the right combo. So do the Texans. C.J. Stroud's a stud. D'Amico Ryans is an absolute stud as a coach. I believe in the Texans are going to win that division, and no one else is going to do anything. The Colts suck. They don't, you know, what do they have at quarterback besides nothing? The Jaguars will be entertaining, much like the Patriots. They'll win more than four games. That's what they won last year, but they're not any good. I am curious to see what Travis Hunter does, and I want to see if Trevor Lawrence will ever live up to any hype ever, because so far I haven't seen it. And listen, the Titans with Cam Ward, and they have some weapons there, and Calvin Ridley on offense, I think they're going to be a lot better, but they still suck. So, you know, who cares about them? The AFC West, this division is the truth, okay? The Raiders are not as bad as they've been in the past, although I don't think they'll make the postseason. I think the AFC West could be the best division in football. I have one more in the NFC I think is better. I'll tell you that in a second. But go ahead and give me three teams out of the West. We know the Chiefs are going to be there, probably win the division again. I love the Chargers. I love what Harbaugh's doing. I think the Patriots could take a page out of that book. You know, Harbaugh got there, and they became tougher overnight. They ran the ball, they played good defense, and they asked Herbert to do less and be more efficient. And what do you know? They made the postseason. I think Vrabel's going to do very similar things here. Obviously, we know they're tougher. The defense is going to be better. They had a really good offseason as far as defense. The offensive line is going to be better but not good. So whenever you have a porous offensive line, you can run the ball. That's how you help a bad offensive line. So I think the Patriots, hey, with Ramondre fumbling and a damn inner team scrimmage over the weekend, don't be shocked if you see Travion Henderson take giant leaps here and he becomes a man. Whoever it is, they're going to run the ball here, okay? And they're going to ask Drake May to be efficient. That's what the Chargers did. So I like this Chargers team. I think they're right back in the postseason. And then I like the Broncos to make the postseason again. Another year for Bo Nix in Sean Payton's system. So that's year two for Bo Nix, just like it is Drake May. The difference is Bo Nix is in a system that plays to him, and he hasn't had to change it. Drake May now is second offensive coordinator in as many years. So that's troubling, but I love that AFC West. And the Raiders will be better, but they're not going to make the playoffs. In the NFC, you know, let's start in the NFC East. The Eagles are going to win that division again. They very well could win the Super Bowl again. I mean, honestly, if they're healthy, that team is just loaded. You know they're great when Nick Sirianni is winning Super Bowls. That guy is a moron, okay? An absolute moron. But you and I could coach the Eagles and win Super Bowls. That's how damn talented they are. I really like the Commanders. I think they'll be a wild card team again. I don't know if they're going to win 12 games. You could regress a bit there. Jaden Daniels probably come back down to earth slightly, but that kid is as good as advertised. I'll take 10 wins for the Commanders, and I think they'll be a wild card team, and they'll be just as dangerous, if not more so, than they were last year in the postseason. The Cowboys won 7 games last year with Mike McCarthy coaching his butt off for a bad team who had injuries. I mean, Cooper Rush was a G-damn starting quarterback, and Mike McCarthy won 7 games. That shows you how good of a job he did as a coach. They were idiots not bringing him back. They'll win less this year. I think the Cowboys win 5 or 6 games. They're going to be atrocious. The Giants should be improved. Not playoff good enough, but they'll likely win around 7 games or so. They still haven't figured it out at quarterback, but Russell Wilson's better than what they had last year. In the North, this is a division I think is the best in football, hands down. I would take the AFC West second and then the AFC North after that. But that NFC North, Lions, Vikings, Packers, Bears, oh my, they're all good. Don't let the Caleb Williams reports fool you. I know he hasn't had a good training camp. I know it's a new coach, but it is still an offensive system with Ben Johnson. Caleb can make all the throws, and I would rather it look like an S show like it does right now, in August. I think by the season they'll figure it out. I like the Lions to win the division. I like the Vikings to regress. They won 14 games last year with Sam Darnold. I don't know if J.J. McCarthy's any good or not. Because of that, you know, I can't count on them. So I don't think they'll be a postseason team. I do believe in the Packers, although what I saw from Jordan Love in the playoffs was troubling. I'll give him an excuse that he was hurt, but it's you know what, or get off the pot time for Jordan Love and the Packers. I think they'll make the postseason. And then I'll tell you what, I'll take the Vikings or the Bears in that division, one of those teams to get in. I just think one of those teams will be good in that division and push for the wild card. In the South, I like the Buccaneers to win the division again, although I think the Falcons will be tough with Penix. I don't see two teams from that division getting into the postseason. I really don't. I think it'll be whoever wins that division again as a lone representative. If you told me the Falcons won it, I wouldn't be shocked. But they got to fix that defense because it is a mess. Carolina will be better. They ended the year pretty hot last year. They only won 5 games, but that last month of the season, they came alive. A lot of times those teams are better the following year, although they don't have the talent to be, you know, a playoff team. But if you told me Carolina won 7 games, I wouldn't be shocked. And the Saints are tanking for Arch Manning. That's my hot take on that team. In the NFC, think about it. It all started with Archie Manning, right? So if you suck and you go get Arch, it comes full circle. You got a Manning there.
Don't hold me to it, Trav. Yeah. But I'm like 85% sure the last quarterback the Saints took in the first round was Arch Manning.
Yeah. There you go. In the West, I like the Rams to win it again. I think the Seahawks take a step back. You know, new coach. I think it's just going to take them a minute. They're coming, though, but I don't think it's their time yet. The Cardinals are what they are. They were 8-9 last year. Kyler was exciting, and they never win anything. It's going to be rinse and repeat. They're going to have to get rid of that kid at some point. He reminds me of Kirk Cousins a lot. A lot of empty calories. Stats look good. You never win jack schnikes. And the Niners, I know everyone, look, don't fall for it. You could lose some money this year betting the Niners. Everyone's expecting that team to be back to some juggernaut. I don't believe it. I was a year ahead of them. I told you last season going into it. I said, I think this team's going to struggle and regress a bit. Now, you had the excuse for injuries. You could blame injuries for how they played. They only won 6 games last year. But I just think that team's older. They kind of remind me of the Astros a little bit. They're older. I think that window is closed a bit. And I look, they paid Brock Purdy. I thought that was a mistake. I think that's a system there. I don't buy the 49ers. And I think John Lynch and Kyle Shanahan, I think that era, this is the beginning of the end. I think this year will really be the uh-oh, where there's no excuses or healthy, and they still win 8 games, maybe 9. You know, they may be there for a wild card, but I think it's going to be – you know, those standards out there in the Bay is higher than that. So if you're not comfortably making a playoff and contending for a Super Bowl, you know, your seat is preheating there. That's how it goes. So I'm not buying the Niners. So there you go. That's my outlook there. Super Bowl-wise, look, I like the Ravens. I thought last year Lamar Jackson finally showed up in the playoffs. You couldn't blame him. It was just Mark Andrews looked like he was on Space Jam when the Monstars lost all their powers. I don't know what happened to Mark Andrews. Like, it looked like he couldn't catch anymore in a playoff game. He's one of the best tight ends ever. And then all of a sudden, with all the chips on the table, he had drops galore and fumbles. It was like, who is this guy? Are you shaving points, bro? Like, what's going on? So I say all that to say, I think Lamar now, with that confidence in the postseason, he did his part. Here come the Ravens. I think they're going to be a powerhouse in the regular season, and then they're going to finish the job. I'll take – look, it's hard to bet against the Eagles. I know it's boring. You know, I don't care who it is. It could be Ravens-Eagles in the Super Bowl. You know, you could talk me into Stafford and the Rams, maybe Ravens-Rams. Stafford last, you know, stand. He's getting up there in age. If Stafford can stay healthy-ish, I could see the Rams in the Super Bowl. You know, if I have Jimmy G as a spot starter for 3 or 4 games, I think you're in good shape. If I have Jimmy G for the rest of the season, you're screwed. So they need Matt Stafford. But, you know, You could talk me into the Rams and the NFC. You could talk me into Jaden Daniels and the Commanders if everything goes right. You could talk me into the Lions, you know, if Dan Campbell gets out of his own way. There's a lot of teams you could sell me in the NFC. I'm just not going to bet against the Eagles. But I know this. I'm going to take the Ravens to win the whole shebang-a-bang. I think Lamar, a lot of these guys, Lamar, Burrow, Herbert, Josh Allen, a lot of them are so great that it's hard for me to believe that they won't win at least one Super Bowl. But I tell you what, you know, some of them, it's getting tough. Burrow's already been to one. We know how hard it is to make it back. And his franchise is stupid, okay? How's that sound? They're paying all offensive players and no defensive players. So that equals Dan Marino, okay? That's what he had. And he sniffed the Super Bowl early, and he never made it back. Josh Allen, doesn't it feel like he's running out of real estate? Doesn't it feel like the runway's running out on him? I mean, he's awesome, so you're not going to ever close the window. But his head coach could be in a hot seat soon. That team has regressed. They can never beat Mahomes. It just feels like Josh Allen may not get there. You know, again, you know, Justin Herbert, we'll see with Harbaugh. But right now, it feels like Lamar's the guy with the most momentum out of that group. I'm going to take his chance being now. This year, I'll take the Ravens to win the Super Bowl, but I will take the Patriots making a wild card, and we're going to like what we see this season, not only from Drake May, but from Mike Vrabel and the rest of this team. By the way, I reserve the right to change this if they go out and get a Micah Parsons, or they go out and get a Trey Hendrickson, or they go out and get a Terry McLaurin, because I'll tell you right now, as I feel here today on August 3rd, the Patriots feel like a wild card team. If they add any of those studs, why not? Why can't you go on a run? So I reserve my right to change my postseason outlook for the Patriots, you know, depending on what they do here. 617-779-7937. If you want to talk Patriots football, call me. 617-779-7937. If you want to get in here for our Red Sox party, we've been doing this since like 2:30 this afternoon. If you want to party about your baseball team, that's a number. Call me up. I'm here till 6. Travis Thomas Experience on IG and Twitter as well. All right, when we come back, we'll hear from Lucas Giolito after that series sweep of the Houston Astros. Your baseball team is hotter than fish grease. Don't you want to celebrate? 617-779-7937. Call me. Get in here. Travis Thomas Experience on WEEI. Here's what's trending.
Now, here's what's trending on WEEI.
The Red Sox completed the sweep against the Astros this afternoon. Giolito went a full 8 innings, allowing 1 earned run while striking out 4 along the way. The Astros got the scoring started in the fourth inning with a solo shot, but then it was all Red Sox after that. They scored 6 in the fourth to blow the game wide open, and they held onto the lead all the way until the end. Sox win 6-1. The Sox are back in action tomorrow night against the Kansas City Royals. You can listen to that game right here on the Shaw's and Star Market, WEEI Red Sox Radio Network. Shaw's, go shopping, get rewarded. Coverage starts at 6:10 with the Mass Mutual pregame show with Christian Arcan. Brian Bea was on the mound for the Sox. First pitch at 7:10. Minority Celtics owner Steve Pagliuca has made a deal to purchase the Connecticut Sun and plans to relocate them to Boston by 2027, so the WNBA is on its way to Boston. I'm Tom Christofili, and that's what's trending here on WEEI and WEEI.com.
Oh, yeah. Let it bump, baby. Come on, we're celebrating. Sing it with me. Sweet Caroline. Woo! Good times never seem so good. Yeah!
I've been inclined.
Woo! Travis Thomas Experience. That's right. You have entered a Red Sox party. Thanks for coming. 617-779-7937. All are invited. We have been partying here on The Experience since 2:30 this afternoon. True story. Follow me on social media at Travis Thomas Experience. It just feels so good. It really does. Sweeping the Astros. Hottest team in baseball. Oh, by the way, did you see the Yankees?
Yankees lose.
Yankees were swept by the Marlins, and the Marlins suck.
The Yankees lose.
Yeah!
Sounds even better a third time, I think, Trav.
Sure does, bro.
Yankees lose.
Yeah! We've been talking Patriots as well. I mean, we got all the business here on the Travis Thomas Experience. So if you want to party with us, 617-779-7937. We'll hear from Lucas Giolito momentarily after that sweep of the Astros. All right, let's hit the phone lines. I mean, as always, I give this phone line out. I say, call me. And then it just lights up like a Christmas tree. I appreciate all of you for always riding with me and showing me support. Check me out on NESN. I'm there Monday through Friday. I do a morning show there starting at 8 a.m. I'll be on there tomorrow, as insane as I am now. I know I had a whole new audience. Many of you could not find the Red Sox game on TV today. You were listening on WEEI here. And then it rolled over like a 401k right into my show after. And many of you said, who is this loud, obnoxious brother on WEEI right now? And then 5 minutes later, you went, I kind of like him. Follow me at Travis Thomas Experience. There you go. All right, let's hit Casper on line one. Casper, it's me, Casper. What's happening, brother? Welcome to the experience.
First time talking to you, too, T. You must have been a long-distance runner in college because you really can go for a long time. I'll let you go because I know Giolito's coming on soon. I agree with you on the Patriots. Just remember, they didn't have a coach last year. Now they have a coach.
That's right.
Secondly, I know you've got computer assistants there, et cetera.
Yeah.
I don't think I've ever seen an NFL coach ever get fired after a game as quickly as Gerard Mayo. I'm positive a few have gone during a game, and they say he got sick at halftime.
Yeah.
But I think it was an hour later Mayo was fired.
Yeah.
They were playing without a coach. You're a long-distance runner. I'll let you go. But they'll definitely be better and probably, 9-7, 8-8, and that'll be great because the next year he'll even be better. I'll let you go. Thank you, Travis.
Thank you, Casper. Appreciate the kind words. I did not run distance at any stage of my life in terms of sports. I grew up in Maryland, so growing up there, it was lacrosse, basketball, and football. Those were my sports back when kids played seasonal sports and not the same sport year-round. You know what I mean? So I did that. I did not do distance. I did, however, cover the Redskins for many years in my career. And I could tell you that whatever record you're referring to about firing a coach, I guarantee you they have the record because it was an S show for many moons down there in D.C. And coaches, it felt like we're fired at halftime many of the time. So. But yes, you're right. Gerard Mayo did get fired expeditiously. I don't think he should have ever been hired. I think Mike Vrabel should have been the guy from the jump. 617-779-7937. You have 30 minutes left in our power hour here. If you want to get involved in our Red Sox party or talk Patriots, doesn't matter. Bring it on. For all my gamblers listening, I'll be gambling heavily on college football to end today's program. Let's go to Lou on line two. Lou, what's going on? Welcome to the experience.
Hey, I love the energy you're bringing, and I'm excited about the Red Sox. Bringing in that third baseman from Houston, he's providing some veteran leadership along with this, his shortstop, and they got some good young players. I'm also excited about the Patriots because I think Vrabel's the real deal. I think Drake May's got a lot of upside. So there's a lot to be positive about in this crazy world that we live in.
No doubt, Lou. Great call, and you're absolutely right about Alex Bregman. I think we talk about his production all the time, both at the plate and certainly out in the field. I mean, he made some more just absolutely filthy plays in the field this weekend defensively. But I don't think we talk enough about his leadership. You're absolutely right. That's a great call by you. Let's go to Steve in Fall River. Steve, what's happening, brother? Welcome back to the experience.
How you doing, my friend? How long you been in this market? How long you been in Boston?
3 years.
Okay. Meg Gnardellini was talking about people wanted Bill Belichick down there in Washington. Remember that? They were all spoiling for Bill Belichick to take over.
Yeah, they were.
The next coach.
Yep.
Okay. I'd like to know where those people are now. Where are they now? First of all, and the other thing is, you'll know I told you he wasn't getting a job.
Yeah.
But I want to flip to the Red Sox. Now you've got all these calls are not going to call in now for 2 weeks. All these GMs that were giving you all the hot take at the deadline. Mm-hmm. There's going to be this pouting effect where they're going to go in the tank like they did in the previous trade deadlines. Mm-hmm. Alex Cora is going to be salty with the media. I don't see that with this team this year. I've been on a I'm a believer kick for over a year, and I'm very doubtful. And that's very hard for me to do. People can't believe, wow, all of a sudden you're giving all the a benefit of the doubt to the front office because they had a plan. We didn't like their plan, but they had a plan. Even Chaim Bloom didn't get rid of the draft picks. We used it beautifully in the offseason to get Narváez and the pitcher we got. We got two guys in. We didn't get nothing in this trade deadline. We got a guy that's made 18 starts in the league. He's got 6 wins. He can get you 3, 4, 5 wins down the stretch. Going to be a hell of a lot better than the guy we brought in last year, the lefty that we got rid of the year before the trade deadline, Paxton. And we got a reliever. He's got 70-something innings. We didn't give up much. It's a good thing. These other people are gone in hiding. They're waiting. About the Patriots, may I give you a nice analogy what this guy said about Gerard Mayo versus the new guy, Mike Vrabel?
Sure.
You're in the Antarctic and you've got a T-shirt on. That's working with the guy we had last year. You're going to freeze to death. Now you come in with Mike Vrabel, you got on a windbreaker. You're still going to freeze to death. There isn't a big change here. We're closer to being in fourth place than being a wild card team. I'm going to tell you that right now. Without today, with the way this roster is constructed, they're closer to being in fourth place than they are to being a wild card team. I hope they get, like this fellow said, 6, 7, 8 wins.
Right.
But their wild card team is delusional. Mm. There's nothing here objectively you could say that says it. The only thing is what is happening under center in New York. They have a better roster if you pull a quarterback off and you look at that roster on paper, it's way better than our roster. And right now, what happens under center over there is probably more determinative of where we finish here. With the present roster, I'm going to say one more thing.
All right.
They made a gigantic error taking this kid at number 4. They needed to trade him out. And if they wanted to take a running back that high, they should have taken Genty. And here's what I'm going to tell you about it. Genty is going to have a bigger difference between him and the guy they took at running back in the 30s. Than the difference between the tackle that was could have gotten in the 30s and the guy we have now. Case in point, look at who the best lineman is right now on camp. It's this third round draft pick, supposed to be not just the best rookie. He's the best accomplished guy on the line. It's not a surprise. That's common bleeping sense. You can get linemen middle of the draft. Joe Thuney, our greatest guy in the world, highest paid guy. Taken later than the 3rd round. This is just stupid that we had to go in there to take a tackle who had questions and not get another pick. Don't forget. Never mind, we just swapped places. We could have had another high round pick.
Appreciate the call always, Steve. I mean, honestly, I don't even smoke cigarettes and I need a cigarette. Like, I couldn't keep up. I mean, I started taking notes at first when the call first came through. I like to just let me take you guys behind the curtain here, okay? When you call me, I actually listen to what you say. You understand? So I start taking notes so that when you're done, I can rebuttal. But my man had Gerard Mayo in Antarctica with a T-shirt. He Will Campbell sucks and should have never been drafted. You know, it was just too much to follow. But I will say this. One thing I did catch that he said, I think the Jets are underrated this year. Where I disagree is that the Patriots making the wild card is delusional. I disagree there. I think the Jets and Patriots are in the same boat. I think the rosters are really good for both teams. And I like the coaching changes they made. And now it's just a matter of who do you trust more? Do you trust Drake May in year two, or do you trust Justin Fields? And my answer is Drake May, okay? Hopefully that cleared everything up for everyone. Maybe you guys followed him better than I did. I was lost. But I drink a lot of beer, and I've made a lot of questionable decisions in my past that have affected brain cells. So who knows what I got left up top. Let's go to Ryan on line one. Hopefully I could stay with his call better. What's happening, Rye?
Hi, guys. Just want to say happy Sunday. This is one of the best Sundays in Red Sox history in a few weeks. This team is a complete 180 of last year's team. There's so much resilience in this lineup from top to bottom. I mean, it's hard not to have fun watching them. I mean, it's just electric at Fenway, and I think it's large in part to the guys that are the young guys. You know, Mayer, Anthony, more Anthony, but Anthony is just, he's the savior of this franchise, and I hope Chaim Bloom, I hope he is so far away from this organization because I know he would mess it up. Craig Breslow.
Oh, Fox, baby, let's go!
And I was partying with you guys so much. We're going to shut the phone lines down, and we'll hear from Lucas Giolito to wrap the show. For all of you waiting for me to gamble on college football, follow me at Travis Thomas Experience. All I do is gamble, so you'll see everything there. I'm going to end the show with Giolito. Travis Thomas Experience on WEEI. Travis Thomas Experience, welcome inside our Red Sox house party. We have been partying since 2:30 this afternoon. I mean, that game, it flew. This pitch clock era is no joke. That Sox game where they completed the sweep against the Astros, they go off, we do a brief post-game show, and then boom, like a shot of whiskey, the Travis Thomas Experience was right in your face. We have been partying since, and we started the show talking about how great, not good, how great Lucas Giolito was today, straight dealing for 8 innings. I mean, he was an absolute menace, and if you really think about it, over the last 2 months, this guy has been absolutely in fuego for the Red Sox and a big part of why they have been so successful. Here he is after completing the sweep of the Astros.
And a large reason they won today joins us in the Red Sox clubhouse. Lucas Giolito, who was just absolutely awesome, gets his 8th win. A sweep of the Astros, Lucas. We were just talking about it. There's a real feeling of belief in that room and what you guys have going. So fun to be a part of, so fun to watch. How was it today on the mound and to be a part of this thing that's rolling in the right direction?
Felt good, yeah. You know, another early start. first couple innings took me a little bit to find my bearings. I was a little out of it. Kind of velo was down. Location wasn't great, but we were able to get away with that. Big part to our defense, especially Alex at third today was just fantastic. But as the game went on, just fell into a nice rhythm, and Connor was fantastic back behind the dish, pushing all the right buttons. So, yeah, overall, really good series for us.
Lucas, since June 10th, you have 10 games, all of which you've gone into the sixth inning except for one. You're getting deep into these games. Prior to that, you've had 7 where it was kind of up and down. Every other game seems like you throw a gem and then you'd have a battle day. Coming off injury, can you talk about what you did not only physically but mentally to get back to where you are right now to make that adjustment?
It was really committing to the mechanical adjustments. When I first came back off the IL and after missing a year, I was super out of whack, especially with my arm slot, how I was delivering the baseball. So we fixed that. We cleaned that up. I really committed to that. You know, that's credit to our pitching coaches and, you know, the biomechanics people, all the people that are working for us. And then once we kind of got that and got that rhythm, got locked in there, then it was you know, much easier to make mid-game adjustments, much easier to navigate through lineups and execute pitches.
You know, Lucas, you've been so good lately for this team. So fun to watch you pitch. I wasn't going to bring this up, but once you said the morning start kind of had you off, I remember, I'm sure you do too, you know, with Chicago, you come in here on Patriots Day, that early start here, you were a little rattled early.
Yep.
What is it about morning starts that takes you sort of a little while to get the thing into fifth gear? And talk about the routine that is required to pitch at the highest level in this game.
Yeah, I mean, I've been a night owl ever since I was a little kid. I remember in high school, like, just staying up until 3 in the morning and then having to wake up, go to school. For the morning games, it's super important to adjust that routine. You mentioned that Patriots Day start when I was a White Sox, and yeah, I mean, I got hit around bad. And that I just didn't prepare well. I was still sticking to my late night sleep schedule, and I just didn't come into that game prepared. The Red Sox made me pay. Whereas this year I've had two of those where, you know, I learned from past mistakes and made sure that, you know, I was adjusting my routine with the days leading up.
Lucas, when you're pitching a gym like today and you're facing a guy like Framber Valdez and it's close throughout the first four innings and your offense goes out and gives you six, can you talk about the shift in mentality, if there is one? What are you thinking out there? Are you trying to get them back on the bench as fast as possible, or are you just sticking to the normal plan?
It was incredible for them to come out and have a big inning like that, especially it was coming right off the inning I gave up that homer to Correa, which kind of tilts the momentum in their favor. Even though it's only a one-run lead, you know, it was kind of 0-0 going in, and then I give up that big homer. The offense completely coming in, locking down, answering back big time. It just shifts, like you said, it shifts the momentum completely. So for me, going out after that inning, it was all about attacking the zone. It was all about executing as well as I could in the zone, getting some weak contact, getting quick outs, and then we were able to have that shutdown inning and then just keep going from there.
Well, Lucas, it's been a delight to watch you pitch. We've talked a lot about how fun it is to watch Trevor kind of rediscover himself when healthy, and the same applies to you. And I've told you this before, but, you know, end of last year, you see my boys in the dugout. You give my oldest your hat, and you spent time with them. You were the easiest guy in the world to root for, and it's so fun to watch you thrive like this, and we really appreciate the time. Thanks so much.
Yeah, thank you. Of course. Appreciate it.
All right, that's Lucas Giolito.
How about this team? I mean, honestly, three games back now, the Blue Jays in the division for the division lead. Can you even believe that? Top wild card spot now. No more of that scratching and clawing for the last wild card spot. No, they're at the top of the heap now, so you have a little bit of wiggle room here. But it is tight in the American League, no doubt about it. But the Red Sox are right there in the thick of everything. And then, oh, by the way, the Yankees were swept this weekend by the Marlins!
The Yankees lose!
The Marlins aren't even good, bruh. God, it feels good, doesn't it? What a Red Sox party this was. Thank you to everyone who was involved. I say this, you know, every time I'm here at WEEI, you know, whenever they give me the opportunity to come on, I always jump on it and always appreciate the folks here at WEEI giving me that opportunity. But I appreciate all of you because every time, you know, look, I do a solo show here. I'm sitting up here. I prep. I work hard. I have topics for you. But I give out the phone number because I don't want to just talk to myself for 4 hours. I was on 4 hours today. All of you got involved with the show, and I appreciate it every single time. I hope you don't get tired of me because I never want to leave this market ever. Check me out on NESN. I'm there Monday through Friday at 8 a.m. You can follow me, too, at Travis Thomas Experience. I'm always amazed at how many people are like, I've never heard your show until today, and I'm a follower now. So follow me at Travis Thomas Experience. Some of you know me from radio. Some of you know me from TV. Just follow me there. It's easier. You can see when I'm on and where and what I'm talking about, all right? At Travis Thomas Experience on IG and Twitter. Thank you to all of you. Thank you to Tom Tom. Another great job, my friend. I will see you the next time the WEEI throws up the bat signal for me. Peace. Travis Thomas Experience on WEEI.